This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we're about to go around the NFL here in the loop. Before we do, we were talking about the highlights you can just watch over and over and over again. And this might be one of those answers that transcends a lot of sports and just a lot of fandoms, because we all have those, you know, just kind of the super player that maybe even didn't even live up to all the potential, but they were so good. And the 832 very much takes me to that place. Did y'all ever watch, just put on the Tavon Austin West Virginia highlight tape? He was a menace at West Virginia.
Yeah, just like that player. Like, what are we doing here? Man among boys.
Like, you go back and watch the Sebastian Telfair highlights. Just like the highlights of some dude who was just like, you don't understand. You had to be there. This dude was incredible.
The one I always watch too, and this has nothing to do with that, but Kobe and Shaq. And I know
I'm just the highlights of that.
Yeah, but people start using their highlights as memes, where they just had the duo. Yeah. Where they were just like, oh, here's Reggie and Lopez talking about the Texans.
Yeah.
And then they show the Kobe and Shaq highlights and them just throwing alley hoops.
And then, I mean, it's hard to you know, argue with this from the 281. Game 6, Red Sox, 2021 ALCS.
How about the Michael Brantley, man? The catch and throw him out. One of the greatest plays, postseason anyway, that you'll ever see.
Oh, and shout out to this person who I believe is a hater, but in a good way, from 346, Holly Holm kicking Ronda Rousey in the face. Because that just takes you back to a point.
That was a wake-up. That changed her whole career.
Oh, yeah. Ronda Rousey seemed like she was just like inevitable.
Yeah.
And Holly Holm was just like, no, this ends today. This insanity runs ends right
that
now.
That changed her whole career, man.
And she...
And haven't been the same since.
She connected. She connected. Man. No question about it. And old school people will remember this one. Even not so old school, because it's an incredible highlight. First NFL game, real NFL game, I'd gone to a preseason, I ever went to was Houston Oilers versus L.A. Rams at the Astrodome, and Earl Campbell
just running through people's faces,
caved in Isaiah Robertson's chest. Remember, just kind of buckled him up.
You know, another one that I like too, and I know we could get off of this, but the 2023 playoffs when Christian Harris had that pick six.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in real time, I thought it was good play, but it wasn't until you seen the behind-the-scenes stuff with D'Amico telling him exactly what to do, and then it happened in the very next play. To me, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
All right, one more. One more. I'm going to close the can of Pringles. Just one more. Greg Ward Jr. highlights at UH.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love it. All right, I can't wait to get that feeling again.
Yeah, Andre Ware excited over this.
Yeah, Goku.
Goku.
G-O-C-O-O-G-S. All right, let's go around the NFL now, where Monday night could be even more special, 6 p.m., and it's 6 p.m. because it's the ESPN does that doubleheader, or like the two Monday nights. It's not quite a doubleheader because they overlap in a weird way, but 6 p.m., in order to help get both of those games in. And it could be under the Texas sky, as Houston Texans' Twitter account seemed to...
They're dropping a hint.
They put a video of somebody sitting up in the rafters at NRG Stadium, but also seeing the field below while also seeing the open sky.
With the sun setting. The sun setting, some helicopters are flying over, got fireworks, and it just says soon. So the roof's going to be open,
now,
right?
Now, quickly after you saw that, did you go check the temperature? See what the temperature was going
to
be?
We now go to our meteorologist, John Lopez.
The high of 89 at 6 p.m. Yes, I did, to answer your question.
Okay, okay.
But here's the other part of that. Suck it up. Suck it up. It's the evening. You know, it'll be
yeah,
hot,
but you still got to do a little temperature check. Like, okay, it's open. Let me see how hot it's going to be.
Shorts, light shirt.
Yep. Yep. Let me see how muggy it's going to be.
But you can live with that, right? 89 at 6 p.m. kickoff.
That's a little.
It's going to be hot, but the sun won't be beating in your face.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
I think that might be the
bigger thing. 89 is 89, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's. I do wonder if we're actually going to get this to happen. It'll be really cool. It'll be real picturesque. Mm-hmm. I know for us, or I say me, maybe me, because I don't know how much you're actually going to be in the press box. I know that you like kind of moving around the stadium a little bit. In the press box, I almost don't get the full feeling of that, but I do want it to happen. Just. It doesn't happen enough at this stadium.
Yeah.
So, like, any opportunity where we get the chance, I feel like we should take advantage of it. It's not going to be rainy. It's, you know, it's going to be warm enough, so you're not going to be cold.
Yeah.
I feel like we should do
it. I want to sit in the stands.
Oh, I might have to, you know.
Somebody got
the
extra.
Skip the old press box.
Yeah, somebody got the extra seat.
First quarter and a half. I might just have to go down.
If somebody got the extra seat in the bullpen or something, let me know, man. I'll come down and sit with you.
Figgy, that's the way to do it right
there.
Look at you. That's the way to do it right
there. Yeah.
Damn it, there's good highlights. All right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to sprinkle in highlights. We're going to go around the NFL. Mike Tyson knockouts.
Oh, God.
That'll take you about 3 minutes anyways.
You got to cover your face a little bit. Like,
Ooh, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And if you're streaming, I do wonder if this makes it more or less likely that you'll stream this game for the 49ers this weekend, because it seems like I had been like, they're gonna get Brock Purdy out there if they can. Seems like they can't.
Mm-hmm.
It reported earlier today that he's gonna miss like 2 to 5 weeks with the injury.
Mm-hmm.
And would you like to? I feel like, have you looked at the depth chart for the San Francisco 49ers?
Who's the backup?
The backup quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers is McCorkle Jones.
Yeah.
Michael McCorkle Jones, otherwise known as Mac.
I mentioned that yesterday. They play the Saints.
Mm-hmm. They've got it.
So you're going to see Matt Jones versus Spencer Rattler?
Kind of the best week to do this, though.
Is this college? I mean, it'd be good if it was college.
Would it?
I mean, Alabama versus what? South Carolina or something like that?
Yeah, and Kittle is out for 4 weeks at least. So, yeah, I mean, all of a sudden you're like, oh, boy, this might be interesting.
Yeah.
It might get interesting. And the other thing that struck me about this is they said his injury was a form of turf toe.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. And
form of turf toe?
And I don't want to minimize turf toe, because I feel like
turf toe is bad.
Like it's yeah. I don't, yeah.
What is so it's not of, turf toe, but it's a form of.
It's something like it, though.
Form of turf toe.
The artist formerly known as turf toe.
A form of separated shoulder. I mean, it just doesn't make sense, you know?
And I guess it doesn't have to make sense to us, but mm-hmm.
It's not COVID, but it's a form of COVID.
Yeah, I'm very surprised about that. And don't forget, they also waived their kicker, Jake Moody, who, mm-hmm. to be fair, he had a rough go of it, and then he starts the season with a doink that falls out.
Yeah.
And I guess that was all that they needed to be seen. But the Niners, a team that it would have been easy. In fact, I was like, I think that they come back and win that division. It's already looking real, mm-hmm. real dicey.
It is.
For that football team. So, vai con Dios, I say, to the San Francisco 49ers. We continue around the NFL, where the Texans apparently worked out a familiar face around these parts. Jadeveon Clowney went to Dallas, or the general Dallas area, to work out. He seemed like he left the facility without a contract. However, this doesn't feel serious now, does it?
It absolutely does. And by the way, you accidentally said Texans. I don't want to get anybody excited. It was Cowboys.
I said Dallas, so I got that part right. Sorry.
You said the Texans worked out.
The Cowboys
I'm like, oh, really?
No, the Texans don't need them.
Slide right by that, but I kind of perked up a little bit. I know some listeners are like, wait, what?
No, I appreciate that. No, I need that clarification. I appreciate the clarification.
But, you replace Micah. Parsons with Jadeveon Clowney? How's that trade working out?
That's about 10 years too late.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but that's I think that they probably should, though, like just add more depth
they
to
have
what they're
to.
Doing.
Why not?
They're in a rough place as well because they also are dealing with a weird injury. They just paid one of their outside cornerbacks, De'Ron Bland, and he is dealing with the injury himself. They're in a place where they might have to start, not like, you know, roster or they have active, start a dude that they just added to the roster earlier in the week.
Yeah.
It's crazy, though, that we're already, like, this is football. We kind of expect some of these decisions to have to be made later on in the season, week 8, week 10. This is week 2 where teams are already trying to make these types of decisions. It feels like this could be a great excuse, obviously in line with, you know, the idea of expanding out the regular season to 18 games, which we know has been a conversation. They've got to expand the rosters.
Oh, I think they're headed that way, and I think everybody kind of wants it. It's just a negotiating point at this point for the next agreement. But you do have to expand the rosters. You do also have to give the extra bye week, which is going to happen when they expand the season. No, I totally agree.
Monday Night Football tonight. You got Commanders, Packers,
Thursday Night Football.
Damn it. I'm just all off. Thursday Night Football. What's most interesting for you here as you get Jaden Daniels versus Jordan Love, two of the guys that young quarterbacks that people seem to be fawning over at this point?
Well, the headline is Jaden Daniels and the wrist that is or is not injured, depending on who you listen to.
Zero concerns is what the Commanders say about the wrist.
And yet he couldn't really throw that well at practice, according to some of the video that was out there. But no, a huge, huge Thursday night game. The Packers, I mean, outside of the Eagles, who do you like best in the NFC?
That's a really good question when you look at the NFC. And obviously, you still like the Eagles. They have the pedigree. The NFC South is interesting, and we'll get our own little taste of that, obviously, Monday night with the Bucks. The NFC West, I guess you have to give the Rams a little bit of a shout. We just talked about the Niners who were dealing with their, you know, glut of injuries. I mean, in the NFC East, how much do you believe in the Commanders and what we talked about? Actually, I've got a team that I like a little bit more than I thought I would, which is the Minnesota Vikings, because what I did take from that, not offensively, even though shout out to J.J. McCarthy being the offensive player of the week for
He's
the
got
NFC.
It.
It being narrative, because I don't know how you watch that game and you go, best player in the NFC on offense.
Oh, you must have gone to bed after the third quarter.
No, I mean, I saw that, but I don't know that you could take that and be like, you know what?
Who was NFC player of the week? Rookie of the week, I mean, or whatever.
Defense or offense?
Offense.
Offense was J.J. McCarthy. That's what I mentioned.
Yeah.
No, I got that. I still think that that's wild.
Apparently, the people that voted for that woke up in the fourth quarter. Was like, right. Damn, we playing good.
Yeah, no, but I like the Vikings, especially because that defense looks tough.
Yeah,
it does. Defense looks really, really good.
And what about the Lions?
They had a rough go of it early. Yeah. I think we just need to see more, because that's one of the questions we were asking about, is without those coordinators, what does it continue to look like?
They look lost without Johnson.
Yes, they do. Both of them. Aaron Glenn, too. I think I'd go Packers right behind the Eagles right now.
They got a chance. Yeah. This is their perfect time to get it in.
Which makes tonight, which, by the way, coming full circle, makes tonight's game so interesting, because Commanders are right there, obviously, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I see that. Now, did you see that Chris Godwin, wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who was dealing with an ankle injury, he's returning to the to practice field today. Obviously, it's the first of the 3 days of practice that teams typically get, seeing as when you have that Monday Night Football game, your schedule kind of gets slid back. Mm-hmm. This is what would be kind of their Wednesday, so to say.
Yeah.
He's returning to practice. How does that make you feel?
Not great. Not great, especially after Ibuka and everything that he did. You got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Ibuka. Oh, boy. That's
he's loaded.
I'm telling you,
he
man.
Will be limited, though. I'm not sure that he plays. I'm not sure that.
He's practicing, though. Limited practice on a Wednesday for a guy coming off an injury is not a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of bringing him along slowly. But he is practicing. That means he's. What it tells me is he's in the game plan somewhere. You know, the fact, I mean, this isn't like a preseason, you know, or.
But he does have to get up to speed.
No, so it could be a game time decision, though, depending on how you feel.
If this were preseason and training camp and he was limited, I would say, well, who knows, you know, if he's ever, you know, going to be able to play, or, you know what I mean, that week or whatever. in the regular season, I will say it, the reps are so precious. You know, the reps are so limited. They're not going to give him reps if they didn't have an idea that he could play. They're just not. Not in a regular season Wednesday practice, because they only got two practices during the week, really. I mean, Friday is a walkthrough.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to disagree. I think he's the
it's a big chance
the
he
intent
play.
Intent is for him to play.
That I mean, that's a huge modifier on what the game looks like on Monday, whether or not Chris Godwin joins, because you go from obviously having Mike Evans, well-known around these parts, shout-out to Galveston, Emeka Buka, who really he showed out incredibly well in his debut, catching two touchdowns, something that is very rare. Obviously, I don't have to tell you that. But if you add Chris Godwin to that mix, you just go, that's a number of guys that you have to keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. And now, especially for the Texans, with the concern that jumped up to a different degree in week one versus dealing with Davante Adams and Puka Nacua, what happens when you go, it's not even about motioning guys into the slot. At any given point, if they have three wide receivers on the field, you are in danger. You know, you are in danger of a really talented player making you look foolish in coverage.
Yeah, yeah. Keep an eye on that. I'm not saying he's going to play. I think right now the intent is, let's see. We're going to try to get him to play.
Definitely make it a little tougher to cover all of those guys.
100%. So we'll have to keep an eye out for that. But that's some of what's happening around the NFL in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Has Reggie been day drinking? Honestly, I wish. That would be a better explanation for whatever the hell happened in that segment. But I will get back in my good graces, or in your good graces, on my grind. Because coming up next, I have to show out well for this gentleman who joins us on Thursdays. He's a former Houston Texans edge rusher, and his name is Ndi Kalu. We talk to him next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thursdays mean that we get a chance to chat with one of our favorites. He is a former Houston Texan, obviously also played with the Eagles. My favorite Nigerian, as I like to say whenever we have him on the air. His name is Ndi Kalu. Ndi, what's happening, man? No. Oh, my bad. That's my bad. I apologize. False start there.
A little false start.
I'm not going to lie. One of the things, I'm certain that we've asked him this, so I'm going to lean on you if you remember. Mm-hmm. Have we asked Ndi his favorite time slot to play in?
I don't think so.
Because I'm like...
No, that's a good one.
I feel like we have. Mm-hmm. I remember we were talking about this with Baker yesterday. Yeah. Baker had said that he doesn't like the late games, the primetime games, because he's just like, man, I'm ready to go. Especially on a Monday night where it's like you've gone the whole week. Mm-hmm. You have 8 days as opposed to seven coming from that Sunday. It's just like... You know, waiting through the day for some football. So I'm intrigued as to...
Waiting all day for Sunday night?
I shouldn't know. Yeah. Did you see that she makes like $1 million?
I don't know if that's true. I saw that. I meant to bring it up yesterday. I was going to bring it up. And then I saw some people commenting that's... No, let's do a little more research. Okay. And I'll bring it up all today.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I was like, that's insane because it's not even that good. I welcome in Ndi Kalu to the phone line. Good. Ndi, first and foremost, how's your Thursday, man?
It's good. It's good. The weather, I don't know about y'all, but I feel a slight break in the heat. Like
in the mornings,
you know,
sure.
You're in Texas. Yeah, in the mornings. Yeah, because in the mornings, it's only like 90 degrees. It's not that humid. So, yeah, the weather's getting better. I'm feeling better.
Mm-hmm. Indy, I don't know if I've asked you this before, so I'll just go ahead and ask it again. Do you have a favorite, like when you were playing, a favorite time slot for these games? Was it the noon game, the late afternoon game, or just that primetime late day game? Because Baker Mayfield apparently had said that he doesn't like the primetime late games because he's just waiting, and he doesn't like waiting around to get to the football.
You when you asked the question and you literally just answered it.
Okay,
like,
all right.
I love the noon games, like, because you're so anxious. You're so, well, speaking for myself, you're so excited about just getting on the field. And I understand when you're playing prime time, the lights are on. You know, millions of more fans, football fans, are watching. But man, just being able to wake up, go through your morning ritual, get to the stadium at 9 o'clock, and then go knock heads right away. I love the 12 o'clock games. Like when I went from Philadelphia, when we had so many prime games, to Houston, I remember somebody saying like, oh man, I know you're upset. You have a bunch of 12 o'clock games because you don't have the primetime games at Houston. And I'm like, shoot, I love that because I'm done by 4. Get to go to my mom's house and get some jollof rice and watch the rest of the football games, you know, for the rest of the Sunday. Like, I really love the early games.
He talks about his mom's jollof rice a lot. We gotta bring some of that up here. Hey, so I know you watched the game religiously and you broke it down and you're looking. I don't know how much you heard the post game, but when C.J. Stroud started talking about lollygagging and we didn't deserve to win the game, that really resonated with me. Am I overreacting, and what does it tell you?
No, I mean, when you're talking about sports and, you know, you want to break down not just sports, break down what the leaders are saying, you absolutely have to talk about that and kind of break it down. Early on, I love it. You know, I'm hoping this isn't something we hear in week 10, but for such a young guy, one, to use the phrase lollygagging,
of like, course.
that's impressive right there. But, you know, for a young leader on the team to say, man, we did not prepare the way we needed to prepare, you best believe whether or not they beat Tampa Bay on Monday night, if I was a betting man, they probably had a very intense week of practice this week, or they're having it. Today's Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. So they're kind of wrapping up the heavy days. But you best believe they had an intense day. He's the type of guy, if he says it, I'm sure you're going to see it on the field as well during practice. So to tell you the truth, John, I love it. But now we need to see the results of that when Tampa Bay comes in Monday night.
Indy, as a defensive guy, I understand that D'Amico Ryans and the way that he has his defense is like, these are the principles. We're just going to make it fast and, you know, obviously play fast, play physical, and just do what we do to the best of our ability, even though we all kind of know in this what's going on. It feels like, obviously, the Rams were able to really attack the middle of the field. Is there anything in your mind that can be done to kind of tweak what happens within D'Amico's defense to help mitigate that, or is that just going to be a perpetual maybe weakness that they have to deal with?
No, you always have to tweak things from week to week. Now, it's a team sport comprised of three phases: offense, defense, special teams. Let's not get it twisted. The defense will never say this. D'Amico will never say this. And the players, you don't want them to say this. That defense played well. I mean, you're playing against a fringe Hall of Fame quarterback who was healthy despite all the talk about his back, who has weapons. It was a lot of back and forth. They put up 14 points. Typically, a defensive goal, a general defensive goal going into every NFL game is to keep your opponent 17 points or under. They accomplished that. But like I said, it's a team sport. I'm sure Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Mario Edwards, those guys are saying, hey, we failed today because we allowed them to put up more points than we scored. So that's what you want your defensive mindset to be. But to answer your question, no, you're always tweaking. Even if you shut them out, you're always tweaking, okay, if they gained yards on this particular play, where can we get better? And if you're noticing it in between the guards on run plays, then that's absolutely something that they're going to emphasize. And it's not just the front four guys. It's the linebackers making sure they're filling the right gaps and protecting the right run lanes.
All right, Indy, let's go into the film room and what you saw from the Texans' offensive line. It's been the topic for over a year now, or going on it anyway. And I know, for what it's worth, you know, advanced analytics has them ranked 30th in pressure rates and things like that. What are you seeing in this offensive line and can it get better?
what I saw a lot, not so much just on sacks or the sacks, but it looked like the defensive line for the Rams, the front four, the rushers, they were beating them with the first move. And what I mean by that, like if you're going to do a double swipe edge move, a lot of times in the NFL, when you get your sacks or pressures, it's just more off of hustle, plays breaking down, but you're still getting after the quarterback. You very rarely beat your guy on the first move. And I saw that. So that mm-hmm. tells me that the offensive line is committing either their hands too early. I don't want to get too technical because, you know, one thing I've never done is play offensive line in the NFL, but it just felt like either you're committing, shooting your hands too early, you're not getting deep enough if you're losing on the first move of the front four. And I also just want to see that tenacity, that nastiness. Like, I don't mind a yellow flag from the offensive line if it's for blocking after the whistle, if it's for somewhat of a cheap shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're supposed to be the nastiest guys on the field. I want to see this offensive line play the way Azeez Al-Shaair plays the game.
We're talking to ND Kalu here in the Loop on Sports Radio 16 and 610. And I actually want to isolate this down to Tay Ursary, a man who had to do a little bit of moving around in his NFL debut. What did you see from him? And then also, like, it felt like there were some instances where he missed just a little bit, but like, how far along do you feel like just now getting to see him on the NFL stage and in the regular season?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I watched him very closely because I knew he had a huge, tough task as a rookie being put in that position. I actually thought he played well. There are things he's going to improve on, and as he sees different rushers, he's going to continue to work on and get better. What I'm hoping for him, especially as a rookie, just put him at one, whether it's left tackle, right tackle, guard. I know he's very versatile and he can play all over the line. I want to see them just put him at one position and that's it. Hey, get comfortable with this position, learn it, because you're going to have your ups and downs. Dwayne Brown, who I played with as a rookie, and Dwayne Brown, for those that know, went on to have a very, very good career in the NFL. As a rookie, he made rookie mistakes, and you saw that he had to catch up with the speed of the game. And Ariante, I feel like, can be that type of player, if not better. But I would just like for him to be able to focus just at one position and one side of the line only.
So then did you take issue with the way that they decided to handle the absence of Ed Ingram heading into this one?
Take issue. I mean, I need to be sitting in those meeting rooms mm-hmm. and see what the plan was and the discussion, and when did they find out that Ed Ingram was going to be out. You still do have to play a little bit of musical chairs, but me personally, from being on the outside looking in, I want each guy to have that one position, and they're just going to stay at that position, and your backups have to be ready to fill in if the starter goes down. If Titus Howard is the right tackle, he's the right tackle. And I know he appreciates, I've had a chance to talk to him, he appreciates being one of the most versatile offensive linemen in the NFL. But I would like to see, and this is a challenge to the players, I would like to see those backups give the coaches enough confidence to say, you know what, if this guy goes down, his backup's just going to step in. I want my backups to be the swing tackles. I want them to be the versatile ones and the starters to just be able to focus on one position.
All right, let's talk about some of the positives you saw. You mentioned you actually thought Ursary played, you know, pretty well. Anything else where you're like, okay, because we were talking about this earlier, you know, things that, you know, could be fixed relatively quickly. Any positive where you're like, all right, that's going to get fixed?
Well, positive thinking it doesn't need to get fixed was just the defense in general as a whole. Like, you're going to give up some plays, but I just love the way they looked at practice when I was thinking to myself, good God, these dudes are intense at practice. Mm-hmm. That's what I saw in the game film. Like, but like you mentioned, like y'all both mentioned, there's things you're going to have to tweak. Unless you hold a team to 0 yards rushing, 0 yards passing, there's always going to be something to tweak. On the offensive side of the ball, and this is the guy that made the biggest mistake, but I like the way they used Dare Ogunbowale, obviously, before the huge fumble. You know, he's not a guy that's going to put up huge stats, but towards the end of the game, catching the ball out of the backfield, he had an awesome block on a blitz pickup. But then, he had the fatal mistake, which to me was more of a great defensive play by Landman than it was, a horrible play by Dare Ogunbowale. But just the way they utilized him. Mm-hmm. Nick Chubb, like, I feel like he's going to get his legs under him as the season goes on. So I'm still excited about the running backs. And I'm excited about Nick Cayley learning that he has one of the best wide receivers in the AFC and targeting him more. Like I'm actually, and that's not a knock. Like, these coordinators, they're not perfect, but I don't care what type of game you're in, you can't target Nico Collins 5 or 6 times. Like, if anything, I want to be here on next Thursday saying, man, they're targeting Nico too many times because the defense knows what's going to him because he's that type of player.
Did you get a feel that, like, the team was just generally tight? Because that was one of the things that it just felt like, even from Nick Cayley and his play calling, it felt like they were kind of tight. Have you had experience with, like, that debut and that some sort of tightness happening with the team?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to – when I think tight, that's a mental. Okay. So I don't want to get into the head. It's not a bad question at all, but I don't want to, you know, be in a situation where I'm trying to say this is what these guys were feeling. Sure. But it absolutely happens. And it's not just the first game. Just from my own experience and to this day, and this was dang near – God, I'm getting old. Over 20 years ago, I'll never forget. We were playing the Carolina Panthers, and if we beat them, we're going to the Super Bowl, or we're one game away. I can't remember exactly, but it was a game we should have won. We were expected to win, Reggie, but for whatever reason, when the game started, it just felt like we were going through the motions, and it obviously wasn't a lack of preparation or a lack of want to, but I think it's because we were so tight, we didn't want to make a mistake because we'd been in that position the previous 2 years, so we were overthinking it. So there's definitely something to that. But with the Texans-Rams, I just felt like those were two of your top-tier teams, and it was a defensive battle, and the L.A. Rams came out on top. I wouldn't want to overthink the first game.
Yeah. All right, so real quick, NFL takeaways. Was Buffalo the most impressive team for you? Maybe L.A. Chargers, maybe your old Eagles. What stood out for you?
It was Buffalo, and it was the way they just didn't give up. It would have been so easy in that fourth quarter for them to say, you know what, this was a nice little battle. We're still going to make the playoffs. We'll see these guys again. But they, throughout that entire game, said, nope, we still got a chance. We still got a chance. And then they took advantage of Baltimore Ravens, some of their bonehead plays, and Baltimore Ravens not really continuing to keep their foot on the throat. So I will say, from the games that I watched, I was most impressed with the Buffalo Bills. And just the fact that they actually played 4 quarters. You know, you always hear coaches preach that in Little League and high school. When you're over there at Edison, John, and the fourth quarter comes up, you're throwing the fours and you're yelling fourth
you're
quarter.
Right,
but like the Buffalo Bills, they did it and they meant it and you saw it. And I thought that was very impressive.
All right. Before we let you go here, Andy, I know that everybody's on YouTube from time to time, and especially for someone who loves sports like you. Is there a highlight that any given time if somebody pulls up their phone and like, hey, watch this, that just makes you happy? Like something like a, you know, I don't know, LeBron James chase down block, J.J. Watt in pick 6. Like, is there one that you go, oh, anytime I can come back to this one, it'll make me happy?
That's a great question. One of the more recent ones, and every time I see it, I watch it multiple times, was DK Metcalf when
there
was an interception. Yes, yes. Because I'm so big on effort. And again, you know, never giving up on a play. It would have been so easy for him to just be like, that's not my play to make. But that rundown, I mean, that brings a smile to my face. And as soon as we hang up, I'm going to be like, oh, crap, I forgot about that one or this one. But
don't worry, just call back. We'll handle it.
that's the one that comes to mind.
That's a good one. It's a good one. And it's always good when we get a chance to talk to you, Andy. Have a good weekend, and let's hopefully the boys get a dub.
Yep, let's get it. Y'all keep up the good work.
Yes, right. Sir. There it is. Andy Kalu joining us here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. I do like that he gave us the DK Metcalf chase down, and I understand we don't like them people. But the supersized version of that, the Larry Allen chase down.
Oh, yes.
Just a big lineman chasing down someone that he should not be able to catch. That one gets me. I'm not going to lie. All right. You're in the Loop. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including the advanced journalism of Pablo Torre strikes again. We'll talk about that and more next. All right. Let's get into what's popping here on a Thursday in the Loop. We appreciate again Andy Kalu for joining us on the hotline, and we appreciate the Astros going for a victory tonight in the series after getting a victory yesterday, a narrow one, but a victory nonetheless, 3-2. And shout out to I heard Sean early this morning doing it as like the three stars, like the hockey side. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he was wrong in his assessment, saying that I think he put it as the third star being. Was the third star Yainer? No, the third star
Yainer,
was
Yainer, yes, for sure.
Was
one of them.
Abreu. Second was Yainer. And then the number one, the third star, the best star, being Jason Alexander on the bump.
I wouldn't argue that too much. I'm trying to think who else really stood out and got things going. Well, it was Yainer twice. He got another hit.
Yainer had the RBI double. No, it was a double. And then he had the solo shot, and then the solo shot. And then you also had the Carlos Correa.
Yeah,
those are the three scoring scoring runs. And and then you had some great pitching. A day after, it felt like you used all your bullets. Really, shout out to Oker. Shout out to Abreu coming back out and delivering some closeout greatness to make sure that you got a victory, that you much needed victory at that, because everybody that is in the race for the AL West won. The Mariners won, the Rangers won, so everything stands as it was yesterday. One game lead over the Mariners, 2.5 game lead over the Rangers, and a rubber match today at 2 p.m. versus the
Blue Jays. The only thing about that is it's 17 games left, not 18. And so you do get a little bit of an edge.
That's on your side.
That's on your side if you can just keep that going.
Yeah. So looking forward to a little bit of day baseball. If for no other reason than if they end up in that place where they start giving you the heart palpitations, it'll happen in the daytime.
Yeah.
You'll have some time to recover. How about that? John Lopez, I love. And I try not to use this word lightly. I love what Pablo Torre is doing.
Oh, my God.
Pablo Torre
finds out. You and me
out.
Both.
So
it's such a throwback, too.
Dude, we
doing
were just talking
it the
about
right
this.
Way.
Figure, we were talking about this. Like, how many of the investigative journalists do we still have around in sports?
You don't have that now.
Mm-hmm. Like, and doing it the
like
right
real,
way.
Like, real investigate, not just on Twitter, just throwing stuff at the wall, seeing if it sticks.
Well, and
he's doing a lot of digging, man.
And not just hearing one thing and running with it.
Yeah.
No, hearing one thing, following up on it, doing the research, getting the documents that back it up, getting the interviews that he had 1,000
reaching
pages,
out to people
yes,
for a word.
1,000 pages of research that was stacked in front of him, and then the interviews to back it up. I mean, this is so impressive.
I think he's throwing people off with it, too, because you got Steve Ballmer. I think Steve Ballmer sat down with SportsCenter to try to.
Oh, and that's why I said.
They're
I
not
love
used
this.
To anybody like this. They kind of just used to the regular old Twitter, just post this and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, nah, man, he got evidence, brother.
And that, the timing, real quick, the timing of it, too. You don't spill all the candy in the lobby if you know you got it right.
That's exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I meant. Like, just, he came out with the first thing, as you mentioned, not spilling all the candy, allowed Steve Ballmer, all right, what is your retort? Because you know all the stuff. I know a decent amount of stuff. what you got to say? Because are you just going to speak on the stuff that's out here? Which it seems like is what Steve Ballmer did. Got out here is talking about how, you know, no, that he got scammed. There wasn't some nefarious behavior.
I didn't know.
But not so fast, my friend. Of course, Pablo Torre has a retort. He has a second episode, as it seems like he always does. Mm-hmm. And the most recent one circled back around to, and if you're not familiar, it's all circling around this salary cap, I guess, navigation, or what's the right word?
Circumvention
is the word to use. Thank mm-hmm. you, John Lopez, where they were funneling like $28 million mm-hmm. through a company called Aspiration. That supposedly was planting trees to do some carbon offsetting. That's neither here nor there. The mm-hmm. idea was that there's this company that really wasn't doing anything that Kawhi Leonard was then paid to be an endorser of, never posted any social posts or did any endorsing, and then received all this money. Well, supposedly there was a point in time where one of the payments were supposed to go to Kawhi Leonard mm-hmm. in the amount of, was it $1.9 million? Is that correct?
Yeah, he needed $2
million. $2
million. Yeah.
And they did not have the money. And all of a sudden, A minority owner of the Clippers suddenly donated, or not donated,
how
invested.
How much was it? It was about $1.9 million.
Invested $1.9 million into this company at just the next day. And it's like there's more and more that seems to, at least without having the absolute burning, you know, smoking gun on this, just seems to intimate very, very heavily that, yes, mm-hmm. what is happening here is nefarious behavior by the Clippers. And I know that Adam Silver, and we talked about him talking, mm-hmm. he said that it's going to have to be hard evidence, but it's getting so close to where
harder can you get?
Exactly.
Oh, he's $2 million short? Let's get my buddy to give $2 million. Okay, here's your $2 million. And it was the same day. I think it was like September.
Oh, it was the same day? I thought it was the next day.
It was the same day, September 29th, if I'm remembering that correctly, that this came up. According to Pablo Torre, and I think we can believe most of what Pablo Torre is saying.
He's been spot on, and he's had defenses. And it's not just this investigation. Mm-hmm. You can go back to maybe a little bit more silly, the Bill Belichick mm-hmm. and Jordan, what's her last name?
Hudson
things. There's been a number of things since he's been doing this over the last few years, and now he's teamed up with The Athletic most recently. So now you have mm-hmm. Sam Amick doing additional reporting to substantiate it. Like, this has been incredible journalism. I think mm-hmm. I'm happy about that, because now it's not just Don Van Natta who can get you these. Now Pablo can get you these as well. But I love this, but I also then hate it in the NBA sphere, because this is going to cause some ripples.
Yeah. Oh, big time. And here's the other thing. The NBA right now, Adam Silver in particular, has got to be taking a step back, because he looked like a fool. I mean, he looked like a fool saying, no, I didn't even know about it. Not Adam Silver.
Steve Ballmer.
I didn't even know about it, all this other stuff. And then all of a sudden, although Adam Silver looks bad too, but either way, saying, didn't know about it. And then you get this nugget dropped. He's got to be asking himself, taking a step back and saying, all right, what else does he got? What else? Because he's doing this step by step the right way. He's got to be wondering, what else does he have here?
Which means you probably need to come clean. But he's in a tough place, Steve Ballmer as well, because he is the sixth richest person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this a little bit, but and nobody's going to cry for them. But the sports ownership like class, it used to be, oh, just all of them are rich. No, there's the rich, mm-hmm. and then there's the ultra rich. And there's a little bit of a beef there. I think that some of the folks that are just regular rich look over at the ultra rich and they go, they're ruining this for the rest of us. Yeah. Think of the way that MLB owners have talked about mm-hmm. Steve Cohen getting out here and just flashing all the cash in order to make things happen. Those teams don't like that this is happening. So I do wonder if the other NBA owners will actually break from what seemingly is like the line of all owners seem to stick together mm-hmm. to try and really punish him in order to kind of put the ultra wealthy in line.
I think that is a real possibility. There are tiers. Even at that level, there's tiers. Yep. And it bothers them.
Shout out to Pablo Torre doing the real good journalism. And then can I add a real quick shout out here? I know we were talking about the baseball game before or earlier, and I see you, Retro Ren. You're right. Carlos Correa feels like he deserves to be on the list of the players that played really well yesterday. Obviously, mm-hmm. his second home run in 2 days. That home run yesterday that scored, I believe it was the second run of the day for your Astros, was his 200th career home run. And I went, and I don't know what made me curious about this.
Mm-hmm.
There's only been 389 people to get 200 home runs in baseball.
I think there's only been 6 pure shortstops.
Like, that is...
Yeah.
That's a big number, but when you consider the amount of people that have played baseball over the century and a quarter or more, actually it's more than a century and a quarter, of years of baseball in America, that there's only been just under 400 and now Carlos Correa joins that class. That's kind of awesome.
Shortstop with power, man. You just don't see it. And by the way, his 100th came with the Astros too. His 100th in this previous iteration and then this.
No, so this is really incredible. You need that again today. Like, you need some of that. It did kind of suck that was that you wrung out all the scoring that you could get, and that was exactly what you needed to get over. The Astros have your lineup for the 2 p.m. first pitch today in Toronto. And Carlos Correa is batting third again, obviously playing third base. We know that. Peña Alvarez DHing, Jordan, is batting second. I mentioned Correa. Altuve batting fourth, playing second again.
Stop right there. Altuve batting fourth. I think that's only the second or third time since 2015 that he's batted fourth, like before they even started their run. It's interesting what they're trying to do with Altuve.
Do I have to go back to your own stats, though? I mean, since in the last 6 weeks, you had this documented. 204 batting average, 642 OPS.
They're trying anything to get him going. And when I saw the lineup, because I think he batted fourth day before yesterday, and everybody was like, wait, what? Altuve fourth? And then now he's doing it again today after a day off. It's just they're spitballing right now with Altuve.
And on top of that, Joe Espada did make mention after the game that they're going to have some instances to try and get him some rest. So I do wonder how much they think the fatigue, and there was a point in time where he, in the season, where he had to kind of carry things. I do wonder if they think that the fatigue might be factoring in with him to give him some days off here and there scheduled to help him kind of manage that. But as you mentioned, and you're good to mention it, Altuve batting fourth, Sanchez will be batting fifth in right field, Yainer, Christian Walker, Taylor Trammell, who's in left field today, and then Mauricio Dubon handling center field duties will bat ninth. Christian Javier on the bump for your Astros. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I think Ron the Show Hughley asked a very interesting question today, or yesterday rather, and I think we should dig into it. When was the last time that C.J. Stroud had a game that makes you go, that's our quarterback that we feel comfortable, we feel great about paying that big money dollars that I think these guys are typically getting? 713-572-4610. Let's dig into it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.